What a blessing the songs were this morning from both choirs and the congregation. Turn with me. There's just one verse I want to use this morning for our text. It's a very familiar verse. I hope it is anyway. And it's found in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter, and it's verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving, if you want to define it, the best definition I found, and I don't know where I found this, I don't remember exactly, and this might not be the exactly words, but here's what I say about Thanksgiving to you. It is the result of a vital union between you and Jesus Christ, and is measured by the extent of your experiencing that union in your daily lives. Do you understand that? Everybody get that? Thanksgiving is the result of a vital union between you and Jesus Christ, and it's measured by the extent of you experiencing that relationship or that union in your daily life. This is why it is so important that your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is cultivated, understanding that the Holy Spirit has been given to you to maintain that. But Thanksgiving is a big deal with God. God created you. He created angels for the purpose of thanking Him. Psalm 6, David said this. He says, how can someone in the grave give you thanks? Which means that the reason that we're alive today is to thank God. What about that? What a blessing it is to be thankful, and especially for the redeemed of God. See, I believe that praising God, and that's what Thanksgiving is more powerful than prayer. Both have to be in Jesus' name. But when you praise God and thank Him, as you thank Him, what a blessing it be. In other words, don't ever try to thank God or to pray to God if you're not going to thank God. Don't ask God for something if you're not thankful for what He's already given you. Praying without thanking God would be about like trying to drive your car with a flat tire. You might could get it out for a while out of the garage, but it would be a rough ride. I tell you, every morning, or whenever I do it, I don't do it every morning, but when I do, if I ever crank my lawnmower or my tractor, the first thing I do is check the oil. Pull out that dipstick and check the oil level. That is what you and I need to do every day before we get out of bed. Check our level of our thanksgiving. There is levels of thanksgiving. There are levels there are people that don't thank God at all. They think thanksgiving is unnecessary. I want to say three things about thanksgiving. Now, this verse is powerful enough to speak for itself. It does not need a little preacher to interpret it, I hope. Giving thanks. This is something you give. The only thing we can give God is thanks. Psalms 116, there's a verse there that says, what can I do? The psalmist says, for all these benefits, God, you've given me. We have heard the goodness of God explained and in song, and that's we all attest to that. We all believe God is good. We can't do anything about it, but we can give him thanks. So Solomon says, what can I do, Lord, for all that benefit? I will give thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving needs to be a sacrifice. God is not obligated to be good to us. He does not ask our permission to even save us. What we need to understand is how dependent we are on him for every part of our life. And he is so worthy of being thankful. Giving thanks, how many, how much, to who? God, always. We've heard the scripture already attested in 1 Thessalonians where we're to give God thanks for everything. That is not a suggestion. That's what God has expected us to do, what he wants us to do, what he's enabled us to do. And we can be sure there's probably nothing that grieves God more than being ungrateful. And really, not being thankful is not just being ungrateful. It is rank unbelief. If you believe that God is sovereign, that God is good, that God is in control, that God is wise, then you can thank him for everything. And we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. I said I want to say three things about thanksgiving. I've entitled what I want to say, Thank God. First thing I want to say is this. It is to say thanks. Secondly, that we show thanks. And thirdly, that we stretch thanks. Say thanks. We need to say thank you, God. I want you to say that with me this morning. You ready? Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, God. Now, we have said that today. Now, whether that means anything or not is a matter of what's in your heart about God. But I'm going to tell you what. It's good just to say the words. Thank you, God. I remember a while back, some of my grandchildren were over at the house, and we say a blessing. That's what saying thanks. Do you say a prayer at your meals? You don't have to ask. Well, we were saying a blessing. And I asked them, 4 or 5 years, why do you think we say thanks? I'm not sure. Is it just a tradition? Is it just something that we ought to do? It is what we ought to do, and it's a good tradition. But I'm going to tell you what. I said to this, you see that food on your table? That comes from God. It didn't come from the grocery store. It didn't come from grandma's snack pantry. It come from God. See, we live in a world, you don't see people saying thanks much anymore. I said thanks at a restaurant. We just do it, you know. Maybe I'm supposed to because I'm a preacher, but some waitress walked up to me the other day in some restaurant and said, man, I ain't seen that in years. I didn't know people said thanks anymore for a meal. You know why this country is falling to the part it is? We have quit being thankful. We are under the judgment of God just because we have forgot to thank him. Now you can forget to thank God. Romans 1:21 tells us through. It tells us there that the people worship the creature more than the creator, and neither were they thankful. What happened? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Men started sleeping with men, and women started sleeping with women. You go read it. It's in the Bible. Where did it come from? No thanks. We need to pray. If you want to pray about something, you pray, God, make me thankful. You need to say, God, I'm thankful. I want to be thankful. It's saying thanks. I'll tell you what, it'll keep you out of a lot of a sin too. A thankful person. I was thinking about Joseph in Potiphar's house. You remember when Potiphar's wife came to try to get him to go to bed with her. Joseph resisted that temptation. Why? He was thankful. See, that's why thanksgiving is more important than prayer in a lot of regards. Joseph said to that woman, said, "What? Wait a minute, Genesis 39:9, I think. He says, how can I do this and sin against God? What he was implying, you know, God's been so good to me. Well, what am I going to do? I can't do this. Do you realize how good God's been to you? Then it'll keep you where you need to be with Him. It's that vital union relationship, but you have to experience the reality of that every day to say thanks. You know, sometimes we just, you've been in situations in life where you just have to wing it. You don't know what to do? Well, that's prayer and praise. That'll get you where you need to be with God. If you're praising God, you're thanking God, and you're prayerfully God, then God will bring you to the past. Turn with me quickly to Psalms 50. And I want to read some verses there. It's about praising God. It's about being thankful. It's also about trouble. Psalms 50. 14, look at it. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's first. Verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You praise God, you thank Him. Now look at verse 23 of that same chapter. Whoso praises glorifies me. Whoso offers praise, rather, glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Saying thanks is a big deal. Being thankful is important. It's realizing, just like the sun shining, that the rays of the sun that show all the blessings of these beauty of these stained glass windows, for example, or the blue sky, the trees, or things we see, knowing on the other end of that is God, or the sun, S-U-N. In like manner, all of our lives, everything we experience, on the other end of it is God. A God that we call our Father, that has adopted us into our family, that loves us. So say thanks. Secondly, I want us to understand that we could show thanks. You know, again, when you think about thanksgiving, there are people that don't thank God for anything. They think they deserve it. I want you to understand that we don't deserve anything. Well, what we do deserve, I don't want to say, but you know what that is. But there are people that just feels like it's really necessary. Jesus tells a parable in Luke 12 about a man that was a rich farmer. I mean, he made a big crop. He didn't thank God for it. What he said was this: I'll build me a bigger barn, put this stuff in. And then I'll just take a break. And I'll just enjoy my good labors and all that I've done, my wisdom and my little maneuvers, and I made all this myself. And God called his hand on it and said, wait a minute, you're a fool. Because today your soul's required of you. Then what do you do with all this stuff? You know, some of the things we're thankful for are the very things that keep us from loving God. But then there's a situation also in Luke where Jesus says there's two men went to pray in Luke 18. One was a Pharisee. This man knew everything about church. He'd been all over the mission fields. He'd given all his tithes. He went to church three or four times a week. And he stood up in the temple to pray. And he said thanks. He said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like these other men are. Would you believe that? And then there was another man Jesus pointed out who was a publican. A man that struggled that nobody didn't like. And he didn't even feel worthy to go in the church. And he stands out there and he was really saying thankful because he said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man, that publican, is justified. The thing about being thankful is this. It is directly related to how happy you are or satisfied you are in Christ. Okay? Now, you have to put the shoe on there and wear it. But there is a little children's song that is sung kind of like this. If you're happy and you know it, then your thanks to God will show it. If you're happy and you know it, then your thanks to God will show it. Which means if we're not happy, we're not very thankful. The reason we're not very thankful is we're selfish. We have a lot of pride. Pride is poison. All your joy and thankfulness will leak out when you're prideful. That's what that Pharisee had to deal with. But there is an example of how one showed true thanks. It's also in the Gospel of Luke. And you remember the man, Jesus, in the 17th chapter, cleansed 10 lepers, 10 of them. And only one of them came back. Why did he come back? Because he wanted to show his thanks. Why are you in church this morning, by the way? I hope you're not here to hear the preacher. I hope you're here to thank God. Well, what I can't understand, I thought about this long before I was called to be a preacher. When I started having an impression of the church, I said, why in the world doesn't everybody go to church just to show their thankfulness to God? Because I want to tell you what Jesus said to this man. This man, this Samaritan that he cleansed, I mean, the least likely to thank him, came back, and he knelt down glorifying God. And he asked for his mercy. See, that's what shows thanks. And Jesus said this, and it is shocking. Jesus said, did not I cleanse 10? Where are the 9? You don't think Jesus notices your thankfulness? Oh yeah, he does. He knows everything. He knows our thankfulness. The thing about thankfulness that really is important when to show it is that it is not about feelings. Did you hear me? Thankfulness is not about, well, I feel thankful. No, thankfulness is about obedience. Because Jesus says, if you love me, keep your commandments. The reason we sin is because we're not thankful. We think we got to have something else. We think we got to have something more. See, to be thankful, we need to be fully committed to God. I mean, it's like love again. God says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's how thankfulness is. You don't just halfway thank God, do you? I thought about Naaman the leper in the Old Testament. He comes up there and he halfway obeys, you know. He does go to the prophet. But when he was told to be baptized or to dip in the Jordan 7, he said, I don't have anything to do with that. He went away mad. You can't be mad and thankful at the same time. You hear me? You can't. So say thanks, but show thanks. See, thanksgiving is an action, just like love. You can say it all you want, but are you showing it in your life? You can show it in your work. Are you thankful for the job you have? It shows. For the church God has given you to serve? Are you going to find some way, something to complain about or something to pick it apart, you know, and say why this, that, and the other? See, we got to grasp God from the front end of his heart of giving us these blessings. And then lastly, and here's one that's gets to the hard part, is stretching our thanks. What I mean by that is, you got to spread it out. I mean, it's a stretch. I mean, that's a kind of a slang saying. But to really thank God for all things. There's some things that's hard. You hear me? But love covers a multitude of sin, the scripture, but so does thanks. You got to thank God for the things that you don't feel like thanking him for. Now again, this is supernatural. Now if you're still mad about God, about something that's happening in your life, or you just have some doubts, and here's what I think. I think that most of us believe that all things do work together for good. But what the problem is, we don't want to have to get to the pain of what the good may mean. See, it's just like the therapy when I had my knee replaced. I mean, that stuff hurt. But it was good hurt. So when I'm talking about stretching your thanks, I'm talking about doing like Daniel when he was about to be thrown into the lion's den. In Daniel 6:10, you're talking about a stretch of thanksgiving? You remember the story. Daniel was given the decree that he was to worship King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. He was told not to pray to his God. Soon as he got that order, the Bible says in Daniel 6:10 that he went to his window. He opened it where everybody could see. And he got on his knees and he prayed. And you know what? He did not pray for deliverance. He thanked God. You hear me? That is salvation by grace. Do you know when Jonah was in the whale's belly or the fish's belly? He did not pray, God, get me out of this. He thanked God and said, salvation is of the Lord. Yeah, it's a stretch. I'm going to tell you what, there was a man on a cross who was stretched too. Just like that. His name is Jesus. He died for you and me. And that's probably the biggest stretch that'll ever be. That a holy God came from heaven to this sinful earth in a tumultuous time to die for you and me, sinners we were that had no even interest in him. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to thank God for his plan in your life right now. Now see, if God is sovereign, and not if he is, but if we believe that, then we got to understand that we are under God's plan. Now we might not think our life is working out so good, but God does. See, our plan B is really God's plan A. So all these little intertwines in my life. Lynn Futz mentioned some. I think exactly how we need to see God in our lives, that we don't understand it, but it's working out as a plan, and we can be thankful. If we're not, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. The only way we can is through Christ. I want us to get that. Because you can't be thankful for these things that hurt without Jesus. He is the vine, we're the branches. Okay, I'll put some shoes on. Okay, preacher, you're going to say that you're going to be thankful for all things? Are you? Well, I've had a few setbacks. I mean, I went through a divorce. Am I thankful for that? Yes, indeed. If it wasn't for that divorce, I would not be preaching God's word. I would not have my wife, Penny. My daughter, Sarah. Well, preacher, are you thankful that you lost your son? Didn't you lose a son? Didn't he die when he was 2 years old? Yes, he did. Am I thankful for that? Yes, indeed. What do you mean, preacher? Are you that stoic? No. My son's in heaven. I've seen him there. He has no pain. He's not dealing with sin and sorrow. Oh, yeah, I could be selfish enough to say, you know, I just wish he was here so I could go to ball games with him or go over to his house. We could go fishing. Huh. You know what I'm saying, don't you? The Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to be thankful for things. You better stretch it out. And you better really believe it and really say, are you or not? Now, the only way I can do that is through Christ. You keep that in mind. Because the forgiveness for my divorce has to be through Christ. And it's a deep sin. It left a scar that's still there. But I'm thankful. Well, what about your daughter that's been on drugs most of her life? Are you thankful? I sure am. I'll tell you, we visited her Friday with her two of her daughters, and I've never seen a woman that's connected more to God's word than I've ever known her, much more than her daddy. But without that, I would not have the privilege to raise three of the most beautiful little girls I ever privileged. You see, you got to understand what God's talking about here. It's His plan. I didn't make the plan. I don't like the plan. I've messed up the plan, but God has. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. You hear me? He can make beautiful things out of ashes. You watch Him. So when your troubles come, you got to understand this. God's coming with them. God never sends any troubles that His promises don't come with. And you be ready to thank Him. For my troubles? Yes. You know the greatest problem people have today? They don't have enough problems. People don't want any problems. People miss a lot of blessings because they look too much like a problem. It's the truth. We've been spoiled and spoon-fed by this world and culture, and we forgot to thank God. And we forgot to think how needful we are Him. And we think we just here to just learn and be intellectual and improve our moral capacities. When we want to just be thankful. You believe that or not? I'm getting some strange looks. But I guarantee you, thankfulness is serious. If you can't be thankful, I don't think anybody want to be around you, really. You talking about bitterness? You talking about something that's just never satisfied? That's an unthankful person. We have so much to be thankful for. And most of the things we had the most reason to be thankful for, we don't even want to think about. But I have known people in my life, and you probably have too. Some of you may be there. They lived through the Depression. And they look back at those bondages they were in, those things they had to do without. And they appreciate things now that you and I take for granted. That running water, lights, food, a wooden floor, a roof over your head. You don't ever think about that. I don't either. There are people, though, that do. I've been through some of those people's been through those times. They said, I don't waste anything. No, nothing. May the Lord bless us. I'm going to come back tonight. I hope you do. But I'll tell you what, Thanksgiving is an overflow. And you need to understand this. You got to start the fire in your life. You get off of yourself somewhere today and you think about God and you think about His blessings to you. You think about your family. You think about where you've been without Him. You think about where He's been, you've been where you'd be without Him. You talk about revival. People don't want revival because they don't want to be thankful. That's what revival's about. I grew up in a house without central heat. Some of you did. We had a fireplace. But somebody had to start the fire. I never did like to do it. House was cold. I'd be willing to say, if your house is cold, what about your marriage? Oh, yeah. Church. You got to start a fire. You know how you're going to ignite that? You got to kindle it. Back in the Flatwoods, we call it fat lighter. We call it thankfulness in Scripture. Got to start a fire. God is not just playing about this thankful business. I wonder if He doesn't take some things away that we're not thankful for, that He intended for us to have. I pray the Lord will bless us to search our hearts and say, Lord, if there's anything unthankful in me, let me ask you this before you go. You can think about it. What is there in your life that you can't be thankful for? Is there anything? Now, Rachel, I know you're going through some things in your mind, but it's got to apply. I don't understand it. But again, thanksgiving is the vital union between you and Jesus Christ. That's where you got that peace down there at the hospital. And it's measured by the extent that we're experiencing Jesus Christ in our daily life. That's thanksgiving. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for being a God we can be so thankful for. And even though, Lord, we've neglected to thank You for so many things that have really shaped and molded our lives, we realize, Lord, that the best thing for us to do is to submit ourselves to You. And that's really a way to come into You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For really, our thanksgiving is nothing more than Jesus thanking You through us. We have no ability to. We have no sense to. But thank You, God, that through Christ we can do all things, even be thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.